out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 19th of June, 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Normally we'd have Nat Dainlaw with us today, but he's unavailable, and I'm very pleased to say Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson has stepped in. Matt, how are you doing today?
Yeah, I think I'm an acceptable substitute once in a while.
So you certainly are. And we've got lots of new stories to get through today. But just before we get into them, I thought I'd just point out what's going on over here in Britain at the moment. Apparently today is the anniversary of something called the Finsbury Mosque attack. And I'm thinking, when was a mosque attacked? I can't recall a mosque being attacked. And they've had a minute's silence, and it's been all over the news, and they've had all the government hanging around outside this Finsbury Mosque, and they've been interviewing Muslims on the television. And what it's all about is apparently this attack on the Finsbury Park Mosque was a white guy with learning difficulties ran a Muslim over last year. His name was Darren Osborne. They gave him 43 years for this, and they've exaggerated it so much that they're making this out that it was the rise of the far right. It was far right terrorism. And all it was is this guy with learning difficulties. And on the same week, or about a week later, he just watched on the television 200 white children maimed by a Muslim setting off a nail bomb in a concert hall. And this was his response to it. When he was drunk, he stole a van and drove the van up the pavement and injured a few Muslims. He only succeeded in killing one Muslim, and it was self-defense. He thought the country was at war with Muslims because he'd seen these kids that were all maimed. That it wasn't a terrorist act. He had no political ideology. The guy was drunk. He had learning difficulties, yet they gave him 43 years, and they're trying to make this out that this is the rise of the fearful far right. This is the violent far right here. And it's not. It's just a man with learning difficulties. It's pathetic. I'm sure most of the country at the moment are scratching their heads and thinking, what? How can they say this was an attack on a mosque? Ridiculous. How can they have any equivalence between one Muslim being run over and 200 kids being maimed by a nail bomb? You know, it's just insulting. It's more than insulting. It's terrible that they can get away with this, to be honest. But I just wanted to bring that up before we got into the news, Matt. I don't know if you've got any thoughts on it.
Well, like I said, from the Italian case, natural law is very clear. When the state becomes lawless, when the state refuses to enforce the law, when the state makes common cause with the lawless, law enforcement, even national defense, falls to the hands of the citizen. And that's all this person did. Regardless of his mental state, I really don't care. He was obviously enraged. You could have learning difficulties and still know right and wrong in that respect. And I'm sure he didn't go through that kind of analysis. But when the state is actually on the side of invaders, and as a treasonous state, citizens have every right to fight back using whatever violent means they have at their disposal. Natural law is based just on that. I mean, the state is owed conditional loyalty. Now, the nation is another matter. And in fact, you could chalk this up to the nation rising against the state. Because in Europe, the nation and the state are usually at war with one another. And that's the case here. The state is treasonous, but of course, the nation remains what it is. And in bringing these violent migrants, the attempt is to destroy the nation. And given that fact, what the man did, at least from a moral point of view, is absolutely correct.
Yeah, it's just a natural response to seeing what was going on. Absolutely shocking.
He's a white blood cell. He's a white blood cell in the body of Great Britain.
Yeah, that's quite right. And, you know, it's not just that there were 200 children that were maimed. I mean, just today, just check out this news story from Sweden. A Syrian man stabbed his 21-year-old neighbour 130 times, killing her and leaving her sister in critical condition in Vetlanda, Sweden. And he didn't just stab her 130 times, he beheaded her as well. The original grievance against his upstairs neighbour was that she was too loud. But during his trial, he said, he lost control because he believed the victim made a racist remark during a previous conversation, Sweden's Freitida reports. I understood the movement of the victim during the conversation before the killing as racist, said the killer. On the night of the February 20th killing, the sisters barricaded themselves in their bathroom where they repeatedly apologized to their attacker. It's too late, he said. The surviving sister played dead after being stabbed in the lung while the man cut off her sister's head and began stabbing the body 130 times. This is after he's beheaded the woman. He then stabs the body 130 times in front of her sister. The court sentenced the man to life in prison as well as having to pay the surviving sister $220,000 for her suffering. She is currently in a psychiatric department where she reportedly has constant suicidal thoughts. An additional sentence for the killer was his expulsion to Syria, where he said he would be killed because of his profession as a courier. The Islamic State and the Free Syrian Army will kill me, he said. Correspondingly, analysis has revealed that in the last 4 years, over 1,000 Europeans have been maimed or murdered by Islamist asylum seekers. So this guy is an asylum seeker. We don't know whether he will actually be sent back to Syria. I very much doubt it. So he's going to have a cushy life in the Swedish prison. And yet another white person has seen horrors that we can't even dream of happening. And she's seen her sister being beheaded and the body stabbed 130 times by somebody that shouldn't even be in her country in the first place. And his excuse for doing that is because he thought she might have made a racist remark. This is what these people get told when they come to our countries. They get told that if anybody is racist, that's it. They lose all rights. You can kill them. You can behead them. If they're white people like Richard Spencer, you can punch them in the face. You can get away with absolutely anything if you say that your victim made a racist remark. We've got Simon Shepherd. He's been in court for supposedly making a racist remark. The guy that made the allegation that he made the racist remark didn't turn up in court. Did the judge say, well, it's obviously not that important to him. He's wasted all of our time. We'll cancel the court case. No, he didn't. The judge said, we'll have to have another court case in a month's time. Once again, the black guy who made the allegations didn't turn up. And this time, his defense counsel didn't turn up either. I mean, this is contempt of court. Did the judge cancel the court and say, we'll just have to leave it? No, the judge said, well, we'll have court again on another day. And if he doesn't turn up on this day, we'll just use his witness statement, which means that they couldn't actually question the guy on his lying witness statement. It was just going to be taken that the witness statement was correct. And all of this is just simply because he made this allegation that Simon Shepherd made a racist remark. And if you say somebody is a racist, this magic word, it will just get you off of all punishments and put an excuse in the public's mind that your behaviour was justified. And that's what these people pick up on when they come to our countries. This word, it's a magic word, really, isn't it, Matt? It's the most important word of our times, I think.
It's a ritualistic incantation. No doubt the defense attorney that he was assigned told him to say that. The way that this article is written, they're begging for their lives here, apologizing for his, I'm sure, non-existent remark as he's cutting them down. Nothing in this story adds up at all. Why would he claim that the Islamic State, Free Syrian Army, have anything to do with anything in Syria? They've been defeated. Now, we hope to God that he's killed anyway. That maybe a policeman will accidentally, you know, do something. But I'm not sure if he's looking for sympathy in saying something that's stupid, because after all, he's a victim of racism. And, you know, the insulting line that over 1,000 Europeans have been made, the number is far, far higher than that. It's a lie. It's a deliberate lie. And at least the newspaper is able to say, well, we mentioned how many Europeans have been killed. And of course, there's been far greater than that. It's in the five figures at least and growing by the hour. This is a normal day-to-day occurrence. And this is the sort of person, especially if they're actually war refugees. And this guy actually is from Syria. This is what warfare does to people. It you know, violence is all they know. And this is what's being brought in to Sweden or Great Britain or any place else. And of course, they're screaming to do it to America. Any act against these people is legitimate self-defense. Any act against the politicians who advocate for this is legitimate. Because, or especially those who finance the politicians who say this, they are screaming for the deaths of more Europeans. And Jewish organizations, as you well know, are not shy about this. It is about replacement. It is about death. It is about continuing to suppress the white birth rate and bringing these scum over, overwhelmingly military-age males. It's an invasion in every sense of the term, financed by the state, financed by the church. I mean, this is what liberalism is. This is why we say liberalism is a mental disorder. In this case, you're talking about – it's almost a form of suicide. White self-hatred has reached a point where they want to bring people in to kill them. And even when they see bodies in front of them, they'll still support the – you've seen the protest sign, we'll take rapists before racists. And women are you know, showing this stuff all over the place. And they get what they deserve. But this is, of course, an act of war, and we're in a state of war. And we do what we need to do.
Well, the ship that we were talking about last Thursday, the one that was taken to Spain, they were all had all these welcome banners out for them. It was like when the first lot turned up in Germany. There was loads of people there welcoming in these savages into Europe, and knowing that this is the sort of thing that they do. And that figure there, the 1,000, that is apparently only. It only applies to Islamic radicals. So if they've killed in the name of Muhammad, that's 1,000, because obviously there are a lot more people that have been murdered or maimed by asylum seekers. Those are just the ones that shout Allah Akbar while they are actually doing it. So of course the actual figures of numbers of people, hurt by them in serious ways is going to be much higher than that. But the thing about this is, I mean, we're told that people like Tommy Robinson, they radicalized the general public and they radicalized Darren Osborne. But just reading that article of what this savage did, beheaded this woman, stabbed her lifeless body 130 times in front of her sister, it's just learning about what's happening around us. That's what radicalizes people. It's not listening to us. I mean, we're not saying go out there and kill people to get your own back. I mean, we're saying we need to change the government. We need to change the people that are in charge. These people that are in charge are traitors. They need to be held to account. They need to be judged in a court of law for their treason against us. We're not encouraging people to go out there and break the law. But when people hear these horrific things, and when they, because they will learn about it. I mean, people in Sweden that lived in that area, even if this had been hushed up on the news, the people that lived there would have heard about it. And the likelihood is that somebody is just going to snap and, you know, and say, right, well, that's it. Like the guy did in Italy that went out and started taking pot shots at the immigrants. After one of these immigrants murdered a young white girl and cut her body up into little pieces, cooked and ate parts of her, and then stuffed her in a suitcase. I mean, the people that live in that area are going to know that's gone on, and they're going to go and you know, try and defend their country from it. It's just a natural urge. It's the natural way to be is to defend your country from things like this. And even though, while all this is going on, the people that should be speaking up against it and trying to protect us, like the Pope and the World Council of Churches, are announcing a joint venture to co-host a meeting next September on migration, xenophobia, and politically motivated populism. They think that resistance to this is xenophobia. It's an unfounded fear of foreigners. The World Council of Churches said it is partnering with the Vatican Department for promoting integral human development in preparing the conference to be held September 17th to 20th as part of an ongoing work towards peace building and migration. The General of the World Council of Churches, Reverend Olav Fixie-Tiviet, said the meeting would be a very useful and significant workshop to dig a bit deeper into the problems of xenophobia as an expression of populism, as well as its links to racism, conflict, and violence in countries around the world. So what is he saying here? Is he saying that this woman, she deserved that? It was her links to racism. That's what caused the violence in Sweden. Is it our fault that we're being attacked by these people? Is our wish not to be attacked? Is that an unfounded fear? Is that a psychological condition that we have? I mean, that's what a phobia is. What it's saying here is that it's a psychological condition that we have to be resisting against this and resisting against the non-white crime wave against whites. And the leader of the church is the Pope, who should be defending Christendom, who should be defending Europe as being Christendom, not just the start of Christendom, but being Christendom. He's one of the chief cheerleaders for even more of an invasion and more violence and horrific things to happen to white people. I mean, this Pope, I mean, he should be deposed. Forget the last Pope stepping down. It's this one that needs to go, I think, Matt.
Well, let's be clear on a few things. First of all, the papacy has been saying this since Paul VI. Pope John Paul II said the exact same thing, as did his successor. Any Roman Catholic who supports this Pope is not only an enemy of our people, but is my personal enemy. If anyone supports this Pope, they are stupid, self-loathing people who should kill themselves. If by now they can't figure this out and they support this sleazebag, there's plenty of Catholic groups that don't recognize the papacy that are growing. And the same thing goes for the Orthodox churches, the mainline churches that are part of the World Council of Churches, which unfortunately includes the Moscow Patriarchate, the Masonic Patriarch of Constantinople, the church in Syria, the church in most of Europe, really. There's a few like Bulgarians and Georgians who are not part of it, who pulled out of it. And of course, the true Orthodox Church, the catacomb groups and all this have condemned it. And the reason why I can't have anything to do with the Patriarch of Moscow is that they're members and contributors to and big supporters of the World Council of Churches. The Orthodox will tell you that there was a council in Constantinople in 1872 that condemned what they called philotism. Now, the story of this has changed over the years. They claim that that's the same as racism. Sometimes they change the name and they call it ethnophilotism, which is nowhere to be found in the council document. At the time, not a single Orthodox church accepted that ridiculous council. The Russians maintained communion with the Bulgarian church that started this whole thing. And even the Church of Antioch, the Greeks in Antioch and Syria had condemned this ridiculous council. It was never accepted by the Orthodox Church, and only the Masonic Patriarch of Constantinople accepted it at the time. And that's kind of the Orthodox foundation for this. But I have two articles on this, and my first podcast, once I got back online a few years ago, was on this very topic. And in my open letter to the Orthodox people who condemn racism in the clergy letter and stuff like that, I said, the blood is on your hands. You read what's going on. You see what's, you know that supporting this invasion and refusing to think in racial terms. These racial terms have been forced down our throats. I don't like it, but we have no choice but to think in these terms because this crime is almost exclusively racial, today, especially in Europe. And if you condemn those of us who are fighting this, then the blood is on your hands and you get what you get. And of course, their response was to attack me personally because what are they going to say? They're doing what they're doing for conformity to be considered acceptable in polite society. Everything the church is supposed to not be. When you're supported by the world, when you have the money and the prestige that the world can offer, it comes at a price, with a price, and that price is your soul. And this Pope is a demonic entity, as are those so-called Orthodox leaders who are part of the World Council of Churches. In fact, the present Patriarch of of Moscow, his entire education was based on the World Council of Churches, which was founded by the Rockefeller family and is now largely financed by Archer Daniels Midland, the agri-giant in the Midwestern United States. And it's a very much a corporate spokespiece, really, for ecumenism. This is pure private capitalist money that's going into this. And again, we see the economic component to all of this. The Church of Rome was a crusading state not too long ago. And now they're with the enemy and assisting them as they themselves are hidden behind huge walls in Vatican City. And the only good thing that comes out of this is that the battle lines between us and them couldn't be clearer. That's the best part of it. There's no excuse at this point.
Well, that's the incredible thing, isn't it, Matt? You know, it was only a few centuries back, and it was the church that was defending us. It was the church that was getting Europe together and saying, you've got to defend yourselves against these Muslims. You've got to kick them out of Spain. You've got to prevent them getting into Austria. You've got to get them out of Bulgaria. You've got to take down the Ottoman Empire. You've got to protect Constantinople. It was the church that was inspiring everyone to keep Europe as Christendom and keep the Muslims out. And now it's the mainstream churches that are calling for all of this. There would be no such thing as racism if we didn't have our countries full of foreigners. Nobody would be racist. I mean, white people are fascinated by the natural world. We're fascinated by all the different species of animal. We try to preserve the species of animal. We came up with the science of anthropology. We love to study these different races in their own habitats. But we don't want them in our habitat. We don't want them interbreeding with us. We don't want them eating us, massacring us, raping us, doing all these twisted, sick things that these other races do. And it's not just against us that the violence occurs. You know, we've got another news story here where they're shooting each other. And again, this is poetic justice. Black rappers shot dead, two of them. Rapper XXXTentacion has died after being shot on Monday afternoon in Florida in a suspected robbery. The 20-year-old hip-hop star had just left a motorcycle dealership when two armed men approached his car. Investigators said at least one of the suspects shot him before they both fled the scene in a dark-coloured SUV. Local police later announced the adult male that was taken to the hospital has been pronounced dead. The adult male victim has been confirmed as 20-year-old Jarce Onfroy, aka rapper XXXTentacion. And this is the rapper that had the video with the young white children that were being led to a gallows and being hanged in his most recent video. And he's also on charges of armed robbery, beating and battering his pregnant girlfriend, punching her in the face, all sorts of violence. And on the same day that this lovely chap got shot down after showing off in a motorcycle shop, his buddy, another black rapper, Jimmy Wopo, he also died, aged 21, after being shot dead in an apparent drive-by. The US rapper was fatally gunned down in Pennsylvania City on Monday, the same day XXXTentacion was killed. Local police said two victims had been hit as they sat inside their car late Monday afternoon. They added that both men were rushed to hospital, where the rapper later died. A motive for the shooting is unclear. It will probably always remain unclear. I mean, Negroes shoot Negroes. Tribal violence is what they do in Africa. Tribal violence is what they do when they move to white countries. And all the other rappers and pop stars are all chiming in about what a great genius these two rappers were, what an inspiration they were to them. I don't see how they could be an inspiration when they've only been around for a couple of years. But this particular XXXTentacion, I mean, he was a particularly nasty fellow, what he was involved in and all the crimes he's been accused of. And yet still all these people are coming out saying what a wonderful guy he was. I think he just got his just desserts, Matt. I know you've been digging around into a bit of his background. What are your thoughts about it?
Well, no one cared about this guy until he went to jail for beating it. And then he became the cause celeb, and he received millions of dollars from Jewish corporate capital. Remember, that video that you referred to was financed by, you know, whether it be Time Warner or whatever the big record label was. This is all Jewish corporate capital here supporting this stuff. This is your society on Jews, as the Daily Stormer used to say. This is what you're going to get. So this is good news. This is certainly God's will and God's justice in the world that these filth are cleansed. And if we read in the Old Testament, this is our job. And certainly to celebrate it. And there's a lot of people associated with this guy who are celebrating today as well that he's dead and gone. I just wonder, because, you know, his trial was coming up. His girlfriend was beaten so badly that both her eyes were closed. This is in the arrest report that I sent to you. To bring her to another location to avoid arrest, he put a hoodie on her to keep anyone from seeing what she looked like. So the guy is unquestionably guilty. And I have the feeling that he was shot to avoid a trial, because you're going to start seeing the Jewish capitalist support for this guy, buying drugs for this guy, like most record companies have done to their employees in years past. So it's kind of a white pill for us that he's dead and gone. And we hope that this trend continues. But no one really cared. No one ever searched for the guy, according to Google, until he went to jail. And so you had record companies noticing this guy only when he was arrested. So to commit a crime is almost your initiation to have record companies, Jewish record companies, notice you. Rap, of course, is not a musical form in any shape, matter, or form whatsoever. It was created at a Time Warner board meeting in the late 70s, exclusively by Jews, and has nothing to do with black life or anything. It's just an invention. Therefore, anybody with no musical ability whatsoever can become a musician overnight if he says the right thing. But so this is good news. This is certainly a white pill. And who knows how many lives were saved with this guy's death, because we know what he was capable of. And he would have killed these people. He tweeted from after he got out of jail. Was arrested, he tweeted that to his girlfriend that he almost killed, that I'm going to get away with this. I'm going to get out of jail soon, and I'm going to make it worse for you. I've seen that tweet, actually. And there's some screenshots of it before it got deleted. So this is what kind of a man he was. So this is great news, and at least the woman involved here is now safe from this man.
These are the sort of role models that they're putting forward to our children, aren't they? All the youngsters, they love their rap music. That's what's been projected to them, is that that's the cool music, that's the street music to be into. And all the people that are involved in it are degenerate lowlifes like this. I mean, I know we have pro-white rap music, and you know, I think that's great, because at least it's one way of fighting back against it, and you know, making joking lyrics and showing that we can do it better than the Negroes can, and we can be far more witty in the lyrics that we put in there as well. But the mainstream black rappers, they're all degenerate, they're all immoral, they're all like this guy punching his girlfriend, beating his girlfriend up, and they all hate white people. Well, we've got a bit of good news here at the end. We're often saying that we are the voice of the people, and what we talk about is the central position, it's the center position, it's the way that people think. They're just not allowed to speak their thoughts because they'll get accused of being racist. And this last story just confirms what we were talking about last week, Matt. 60% of Italians support the government sending the boats back. Almost 60% of Italians say that it was right to shut their ports to ships transporting illegal migrants from Africa. And 68% say populist Interior Minister Matteo Salvini was correct to stand up to the EU on this issue, and I'll just add here, and also stand up to the BBC and no doubt all the other European news companies that were saying how terrible it was that Italy was turning away this boat of invaders. And the poll comes as a convoy of ships carrying more than 600 migrants docks at the Spanish port of Valencia, unfortunately, a week after they were picked up right up close to Africa for transport to Italy, before Salvini refused to take them. I mean, they even admit that this ship was within spitting distance of the beach in Libya, and they were just going to tow it. These NGOs were just going to tow it all the way to Italy if Matteo Salvini hadn't spoken up, and all of his country supports him. And this is what we need to see more of. I mean, this just shows populist parties, if they get into power, they've got the support of the people. They really have. I mean, this is 60%, 68%. Of Italy are supporting this guy. I mean, we're now going to see more of it in Austria. It looks like Frau Merkel might be taken down with the latest scandal that's happening over there. We've got Orban speaking up. You know, we've got a real movement against this now in Europe, Matt. You know, I just wanted to highlight this one because we talked about it last week, and this just says, well, look, you know, 68% of Italy agrees with our podcast last week, which is pretty good numbers, I think.
Well, you know, the number is much higher. You know, it's always going to be underreported in the press. And you have a lot of people who are afraid to say yes to this stuff, to pollsters, afraid of any possible repercussions. That's the case in America as well. I'm willing to say it's 80% or higher. If it was 90%, they wouldn't print it. But And I think, you know, elections are rigged all the time. These guys just barely got into power, even though 90% of the population probably agrees with them. You've heard in France, they've cleansed so much of the country of the right wing. Half these guys are in jail now, and you know what, the same thing's going on in England. And so this is, the battle lines are drawn, and it's very, very clear. And that's really the best news of all this. You have to pick a side.
Well, certainly they've picked the right side in Italy, and eventually everyone's going to have to pick the right side. Anyway, thank you very much for coming on today, Matt. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with another Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.